way from meeting our goal here on Pacific Underground for the membership drive. Thank you. Thank you. We just need one of you, just one of you to call in, maybe $5 a month or so. This is the moment to become a member of KBOO today. 877-500-5266, because it's matching. We have people who are matching your donation today. So this is the moment to become a member of KBOO, because you just enjoyed that. I enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it. And I spent most of the night editing that. But it was good to listen to, because I knew that I was out on the radio and I knew that everyone was appreciating it.
877-500-5266. Oh my gosh, I just got handed a note that we are so freaking close. We're so close. We're just like $6 away.
Oh my goodness.
Where are you? Where are you? Our $6 donor.
I know you're listening.
We know, because when you listen to Pacific Underground, you know, maybe you're hearing your story. You are hearing your story. You know, you're hearing the stories that you think, oh, what does this have to do with me? Oh, it has everything to do with you. When I hear it, you know, not every single story on Pacific Underground is about me, but in a way it is. In a way it is, just because I'm a person and I like hearing people's humanity. We are out of time, but we just want to say thank you. So $6 person, wherever you're at, give us a call now, 877-500-5266, or go online to KBOO.fm and become a member of KBOO today. Thanks.
Thank you. We love you.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Cafe 11, located at 435 Northeast Rosa Parks Way, a family-friendly coffee shop in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Fearless reporting, the news you trust, stories that represent you, the information you deserve, and the community you can depend on.
This is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
I'm Al Khan.
I'm Grace Ann Smith.
For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
This is Ray Bodwell.
I'm Sam Bowman.
KBOO News and Public Affairs, nearly half a century of award-winning local and national coverage and community engagement.
Welcome back to Counterspins.
What's good? This is Tevin, your host here at Combined Culture Radio.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
What's up, fam? You're tuned to Hard Knock.
Welcome back to another episode of Keeping It Real.
It's Labor Radio.
Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postlewaite.
Welcome to Cutie Pog Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak.
Hey, good evening. This is Jean.
And this is Rowan.
And this is Transpositive PDX.
Tune in this Friday, September 22nd, during KBOO's Fall Membership Drive for News and Public Affairs Day to hear breaking stories, interviews with national journalists and political leaders, and to become a sustaining member. Give the gift that keeps on giving in the form of a KBOO donation and become part of community media.
Hello, KBOO community. Since 2014, KBOO has used the concept of the beloved community popularized by Martin Luther King Jr. to give us a framework for ensuring that we intentionally create space for dialogue between KBOO community members so KBOO continues to flourish as a space for creative collaboration. A small group of KBOO volunteers and staff are meeting monthly to help ensure that the beloved community work of KBOO's 3-year strategic plan moves forward in a good way and continues to support us in being a better and better community and radio station. Most recently, we drafted a statement on what the term beloved community at KBOO means, and we would love your input by September 30th. Please go to kboo.fm or stop by the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue for a paper copy of the survey. This will take 5 minutes of your time. Your input will help us make sure this statement is the strongest, clearest, and most inspiring and most inclusive statement it can be. Please email del@kboo.org if you have any questions. Thank you.
And this is KBOO Portland. The time is 12:03. Please support the station during the fall membership drive when you call 877-500-5266. We're going now to Ms. Amy Knight and Zelos Marchand.
Hello?
You are on.
I'm on. Is Ms. Knight on?
Well, I guess while we're waiting, I will introduce Amy Knight. Amy Knight is the American historian of the Soviet Union and Russia and has been described by the New York Times as the West's foremost scholar of the KGB. She gained her PhD in Russian politics at the London School of Economics and Political Science and has taught at the Paul H. Nitti School of Advanced International Studies at Johns Hopkins University, George Washington University, and Carleton University. She's worked for 18 years in the Library of Congress as a specialist in Russian and Soviet affairs. She has written more than 30 scholarly articles and contributed numerous pieces about Russian political dynamics and history to the New York Review of Books, the Times Literary Supplement, and her articles have been published in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Wilson Quarterly. She's the author of How the Cold War Began and Orders to Kill, the Putin Regime and Political Murder. I'm Zella Zellis-Marchand. Thank you for joining us for a special today. Welcome, Ms. Knight. Welcome to KBOO's Living Room.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I almost don't know where to get started. I'm so honored to be speaking to you in the first place. Perhaps you can start by telling us how many reporters and political opponents has Putin had murdered? Do we know for sure?
We don't know for sure, and I would be, I would hesitate to give you exact numbers because the circumstances surrounding a lot of these murders have never, fully come to light. And also, because of the whole atmosphere of lawlessness in Russia and the lack of accountability of the law enforcement, it's really difficult to say. But if we're talking about cases that the Kremlin or Putin probably indirectly ordered, we're talking about a dozen or so.
That's murky, it sounds like, for sure. For those of us in our audience that are probably wanting more clarity, can you simplify who the Kremlin is and how they rose to power?
You mean who Putin is, Mr. Putin?
Or the Kremlin, as we understand it from In Orders to Kill, you talk about how they're protecting, although Putin is in charge of the investigations, the identities of those involved in the murders.
Mr. Putin is not himself in charge of the investigations. He controls a vast law enforcement system of security services and prosecutors and so on and so forth. So they basically are under the control of Mr. Putin and his top allies. And so they are the ones that conduct these investigations, and usually, as I said, they don't really come up with any concrete results except to find in, several cases the actual trigger man, the person who's carried out the murder, but not the person who's ordered it.
So how is it possible then for those who are ordered to do this that are never identified? How is it in the way that, I guess, Russian law carries out sanctions that?
Well, first of all, oftentimes the people who've carried out these crimes are who have actually, as I say, shot someone, or they are oftentimes from the North Caucasus, which is a very depressed area, and they oftentimes will do it for money and think that they can get away, that they're going to be paid and that's going to be that. And then what happens is the law enforcement agencies actually do arrest them, and they're coerced into confessing, and they're sent off to prison. But nobody knows who is behind these murders.
Is there a roster of who will be next on Putin's vengeance list?
I think would mean that it's very definite. I hope that my book makes clear, President Putin doesn't ever give any written direct orders to have anybody killed. He wouldn't be that stupid. So he, although I discuss in my book, a lot of the evidence points to the fact that he has been the person behind these crimes. But usually, you know, it happens because he's given a wink and a nod, you know, to his underlings, his subordinates. Now, as for a list of people who, you know, might be killed, I know that several, well, I'll give you one example, and I hate to say this, but I actually just had a piece that came out in the L.A. Times today about it. There's a very outspoken anti-corruption crusader in Russia named Alexei Navalny, and he has produced several really damning dossiers on Putin and his cronies in the Kremlin showing how corrupt they are. And he's shown these exposés on YouTube, and they've been seen by, you know, millions. He is definitely, and he's now campaigning for the Russian presidency. Mm. He is definitely one of Mr. Putin's top enemies, and he's been threatened and harassed. He had poison thrown at him by some street thugs that he almost lost sight in one eye. But he's persevering. He's a very courageous young man. He's only 41 years old, has two small children, but he's becoming very popular in Russia.
Oh, my. That is quite a story. We're going to take a really brief break and just come back to this. For now, we're going to go to Jinka and Per in Membership Central.
Well, here we are. I'm here with Jinka. My name is Per, and we are here to relieve you of some money and relieve you of some anxiety about the state of the world, because KBOO brings you all kinds of points of view, and you kind of you exercise your judgment and stay connected with the world. Stay connected with KBOO. And the way to do that is to dial 877-500-5266. That will put you in touch with all that's going on in the world today. 877-500-5266.
You know, I am really happy to announce that we are more than halfway to our goal of $105,000. We are now at $53,551.
Wow.
So we are working our way to that goal with all of the donations that we've been getting of the $10 a month contributions and the $20 a month level, whatever people are able to put forward, that all comes together to make this station happen. This is a really exciting time to be here. This is News and Public Affairs Day. We want to thank some people who gave. Linda, who gave online at kboo.fm. Linda's from North Portland, and I want to thank Joan and Stuart from Corvallis, who also gave online at kboo.fm. That's a real easy way to give. If you go online, it just takes a couple of minutes, and you just go to kboo.fm, and there's a little pop-up that comes up. You just go right there to the donate button, and you can choose the amount. The monthly amount is preferable. You can also do a one-time gift. Whatever you're able to do, support KBOO today. This is News and Public Affairs Day. Friday, September 22nd, really, really compelling content all the way till 8 p.m. Support Public Affairs, 877-500-5266.
And we have some kind of a special prize drawing, too. You become a member now, and you are entered. Today's drawing is for the Northwest Premier Environmental Film Festival, and you can win a total of 10 pairs of tickets to the Portland Echo Film Festival.
At the Hollywood. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Hollywood
Winona
Theater.
LaDuke is going to be there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Starts next Thursday.
Well, we offer a new prize every day of the drive, and call 877-500-5266, and you will be entered for a chance to win, or dial KBOO.FM. Do it now.
We're back. Ms. Knight, I wanted to tie back into what you were talking about with Alexei. Can you go into, for those of our listeners that haven't read the book, about what specific evidence draws conclusions back to Putin as being involved in the murders?
Well, you know, what I'll do is give you an example. I think that's the best way to start. Of one particular really high-profile case, which your listeners may have heard about. It was the murder of a FSB, KGB, Security Service defector named Alexander Litvinenko. And he defected from Russia in 2000 and ended up in London. In 2006, he was poisoned by a very lethal radiation poisoning, polonium-210. It was put in his tea. He suffered a long, drawn-out, agonizing death. It took him 3 weeks to die. And as a result of a very in-depth inquiry by the British law enforcement and the judicial system, they finally were able to prove conclusively that two men who worked for the Russian FSB and came to London and spent time with Litvinenko, that these men were actually the murderers. And the High Court judge in London then linked these men and to Mr. Putin and the head of his security service. And he wasn't willing to come out, and the judge did not say Mr. Putin did it. He said the evidence points to Mr. Putin. And that's pretty strong, because as I've told you, there'll never be a written order. There'll never be an actual smoking gun. But in this case, one of the killers, they both went back to Russia, and Russia refused to have them extradited to the UK. And one of them received a Medal of Honor from Mr. Putin, and he's now a member of Parliament. Mm-hmm. And very prestigious job. So there you have it. That's just one example. I guess I would say that a great deal of my evidence, it comes from the fact that the people who ended up being killed were people who clearly had aroused the ire of President Putin and his cronies. And they had lots of threats. And it really, I guess what I'm saying is the Kremlin had a lot of motivation to get rid of these people. So when you look back over the years and all the different cases that I've traced, it's usually the same scenario, and it's inevitably points up to the Kremlin.
They're just, I guess I can tie in off of that. There's so much in American press today that gives a sense of fear that the U.S. should have towards Russia concerning our foreign policy, who we have in office right now at in our executive level. Is there really as much to fear about how our foreign policy seems to be complicit with Putin's regime?
Well, if you're talking about the Trump administration in particular, I wouldn't use the word complicit. But I would say, and of course everybody's familiar now with this, this huge controversy about Russian interference in our elections. I think it's very true that the Russians interfered in our elections, and they have very sophisticated cyber warfare techniques, and they could do it again. So I think that is a huge threat to the United States, because we're a democracy and we can't afford to have that kind of thing happening. I think also Russia does not necessarily have our best interests in the pursuit of their policies in areas like Syria, where they're supporting al-Assad, or in Ukraine, where they continue to have their military base in eastern Ukraine, and they're trying to basically destabilize Ukraine. So I think, yes, Russia is, it does represent a threat to us.
And so when you say Russia, I just want to be clear. Are you speaking about the Russian government overall, the temperature of the Russian people?
Well, the Russian people, and I've been to Russia many times, and the Russian people are wonderful. I think they have very little to say and very little control over what their leadership does. But I would also point out, because you might be asking me, well, Mr. Putin's popularity ratings are over 80%. This is really because the Russian government controls the television. The television is all pretty much run by the state. And so the Russian government can put this huge propaganda about Putin on its airwaves. And this is what the Russian people see all the time. So it's only the younger generation that goes to the internet and gets some of their news there. And of course, the internet is much more free. So I would say that Putin is pretty popular, and Russians are also patriotic. And Putin and his propaganda people really present to the Russians this picture of Russia being terribly threatened by Western aggression, and the Western governments are trying to undermine their system. So yes, the Russian people do often believe this, but they don't, you know, they don't have any other sources of information.
You kind of answered my next question. I was really wanting to know about the state of the press in Russia, which you kind of touched upon in terms of television being controlled, being filled with propaganda. But you were mentioning the internet online. It's freer. How is that not regulated the same way?
Well, the Russians would like to be able to control the internet, and they tried to get some of the social networking sites to let the Russian security services have all their information, but thus far it hasn't really worked. And so people like Alexei Navalny, who I mentioned, has been able to put on the internet these just incredible documentaries with pictures from drones showing the huge mansions of Putin and his allies. And thus far the Russians haven't been able to do very much about it. And I should also say that there are some Russian newspapers, such as Novaya Gazeta, which publishes articles that are very objective and often very critical of the Russian government. And there are radio stations as well that are independent and offer objective news. But the problem is, as I said, the majority of Russians are pretty much glued to state-run television, the older Russians in particular. Now, I might add that one of the reasons, I don't know if you're aware of this, but last spring there were some pretty serious street demonstrations all over Russia. And the Kremlin was really alarmed by them, because thousands of people came out on the streets, and they were in different cities all over Russia, and they were protesting corruption in the high levels of the government. They were motivated by what they saw, a lot of what Navalny posted on the internet. So the younger people seem to be much better informed and also much more critical of the Putin government.
So the younger generation, are we talking what we would call in the States here millennials? Are we talking the baby boomer subset? Can you go into that?
I would say what we're talking about are the people up to the age of about 50, but particularly those in their 20s and 30s, the kind of people who are computer savvy and who, you know, would sit down at the internet and you know, watch what's ever on to get their news. The older generation just simply isn't as computer literate. A lot of them don't have computers. And, you know, so it's easier to watch television. Now, I might say that one thing that prevents the Russian government from being too restrictive on the internet is that, as you know, their economy depends hugely on the internet. All sorts of transactions and so on and so forth. So if they tried to get too restrictive, it would be very harmful to their economy. And right now their economy isn't doing well.
Well, we're going to take a brief break and go back to Jinka and Per and Membership Drive Central, and then return to this conversation.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And we're asking for you to become a member. This is our fall membership drive, and this is the time when we come to you, the listener, and ask for your support for this radio station. Right now is a perfect time to give, because your donation will be doubled. Whatever membership level you choose, whether it's a $10 a month or the $5 a month level or the $20 a month level, that will be doubled. So for $10 a month, you just sign up for the $10 a month now. That's counted as $120. KBOO gets $240. So call right now, double the contribution that you give by generous donors that are matching every donation given today. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And I would encourage you to give it that $10 a month level. That way you get the USB flash drive filled with a whole 4 gigabytes of audio of MP3 files going back to 1968 when KBOO began.
Oh, look at that. Well, it's really easy to start. 877-500-5266. And you can get set up with electronic funds transfer. It comes automatically out of your bank account into ours. And all you have to do is, you know that every month it's taken out and you are a continuing member, a sustaining member. You don't have to worry about lapsing, and that stays in effect as long as you want it to be. And it's any amount you set. It's all up to you. 877-500-5266. Set up that automatic funds transfer, and then all you have to do is every month you just check your bank statement or your credit union statement. We look down on banks. And just make sure that it's being taken out, and you can sleep soundly knowing that the world is in good hands with KBOO calling the tunes, calling out the big shots and the plunderers of the world.
Reinvest in your community. You know, take some of that money out of the economy of the very wealthy and put it back into your community. This is an investment, really. KBOO is celebrating News and Public Affairs Day today, all day. This is the very best talks, interviews, special programs highlighting KBOO's stellar news and public affairs programming. This is an important time to give and an essential time to give so that you can double your contribution. So call right now. If you could do a $100 contribution, KBOO will get $200. Is that something that you would consider? Call right now, 877-500-5266. You know, we've got Amy Knight on now, and then we're going to have Damon Motz from Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. We're going to have the Oregon Attorney General on, Ellen Rosenblum, and all kinds of programming going on all day today. And I want to hear those phones ring. I want to hear some support for news and public affairs on KBOO. You are our grassroots supporters that keep us independent. Listener support is what keeps KBOO going. You know, this is really, as we're hearing, a perilous time to be a journalist in the world today. Independent media is more important than ever. KBOO, with our scant resources, we're able to do what some of these major media players are not able to do in the type of investigative reporting, the type of in-depth analysis that we do here. And we do that on a shoestring budget. We do that with your support. Can you give $10 a month for this effort? Call right now. We'll reward you with a USB drive filled with audio, and it is exclusive KBOO content. That could be yours, and the joy of giving and being an owner of a radio station. 877-500-5266. We want to thank Ellen from Southeast Portland and Kate from Brooks, Oregon, and Joya from Kaiser. Thank you all for joining, and you can be the next person we thank. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
Or you can come on down here to 20 Southeast 8th, just about half a block from Burnside. Come and see us. Come and inspect the property that you are part owner. See how your employees are doing. You know, they are working for you, and they are not getting paid any astronomical amount. They work very hard. We have a bare-bones budget. We don't have any, we like to joke about our executive hot tub and all that kind of stuff. No such thing. Folks, I wish there were sometimes, but anyway, here we are. We have a very modest little building with a nice mural in front, and you can come on down here, give us some money, become a part owner of the station. That entitles you not only to be part of the programming, you can vote in the board elections, you can run for the board, you can serve on committees, you can be part of what makes this station go around. This is a unique station. I mean, there are other stations that depend on their listeners for support, but they don't allow their listeners to dictate policy or be part of the process. You know, their listeners are kind of there to either like or not like what's on the air, but that's about it. KBOO is different. This is do-it-yourself radio. We can do it, folks. You and me and all the other folks out there, we can make radio.
Sí, se puede.
That's right. That's exactly.
You yes. help make this homemade handcrafted radio with KBOO, with your friends, your neighbors. KBOO sounds different because it's something real, made by real people,
different.
Just like you. And now is the time to have your contribution matched. Double the amount that you give to KBOO by calling right now. If you give $100, KBOO will get $200. If you give $500, KBOO will get $1,000. Call right now. I would encourage you to give that $10 a month contribution. It's really not a lot out of your pocket at once, but yet it makes a huge impact for KBOO. $10 a month, you get the USB flash drive filled with exclusive audio content, and you support your community. 877-500-5266.
And excuse me, and we are back. Amy, I wanted to go back into the subject of Russia's economic decline that you were talking about. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, Russia depends primarily on its natural resources, oil and gas and minerals, for its exports and its economy. So it does not really have a sophisticated economic infrastructure. So there, when oil prices go down, their economy suffers greatly. So the decline in oil prices plus the fall in the value of the ruble has made it very difficult for the average Russian to maintain a decent standard of living. Things are getting slightly better now, but I would say the Russian economy is still doing very poorly. And this, of course, has ramifications politically, because people don't like it when their standard of living goes down.
I'm sure not. We can definitely attest to that in the States right now. Seems almost like a global problem at points. But how long has it been in this state of decline, and why hasn't that changed the Russian populace, the sentiment towards what's happening with the Putin regime, Kremlin, the murders, and all of that?
Oh, I should also mention that another contributing factor to the problems with the Russian economy are the Western sanctions, the economic sanctions that we introduced against Russia in 2014 as in protest against their invasion of Ukraine. And those economic sanctions also have been very hard on the Russian economy. So as to your question as to why people haven't reacted more, well, you know, I mentioned that there have been some pretty broad, serious street protests, and I think those are going to continue. We haven't seen, a complete revolt on the part of the people, but I think this is what the Kremlin is really nervous about. It might be recalled that when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, that collapse was preceded by massive street protests, and it was over the economy. So I would say that the economy has been in decline for about 3 years, and unless things really pick up, that's a danger for the Kremlin.
Circling back to... circling back to Putin's competition, as it were, what are the chances of him being elected?
I think they're very high at this point, because he's the only candidate on the ballot. Now, I think he would like someone else to be on the ballot, because otherwise it just shows how illegitimate the whole process is. And I've just read or heard recently that a woman named Ksenia Sobchak is going to put herself, try to get on the ballot. But she is a journalist. Her father was a close friend ally of Mr. Putin. But she wouldn't bring in many votes. The problem with Mr. Navalny, who actually is now known pretty much all over Russia, and he's been on the stump. He's got rallies. He's had rallies all over the country now. He's really campaigning very well. The problem is that he was charged in the past twice for fraud and embezzlement. And these charges are completely bogus, as anyone will tell you. But and he only got suspended sentences. But the problem is, according to Russian law, if you have charges like that against you, you can't be on the ballot.
Mm.
So what Mr. Navalny is trying to do, and I can't emphasize to you how courageous this man is, he is trying to get so much support, you know, grassroots support, that the Kremlin will be almost forced to put him on the ballot. And when he ran in 2013 for the mayor, the post of the mayor of Moscow, he surprised everyone. He was barely known, and he got almost a third of the votes. So he's got, you know, he's got a lot of charisma. I right now, if there were election tomorrow, he would have no way of succeeding. But again, I think it's always a threat to the Kremlin.
I wanted to know, Sonia Folchak, I don't know that much about her, but is, you mentioned she was an ally to Putin. Does that mean that she would definitely not see eye to eye with Navalny?
Her name is Ksenia.
Ksenia, excuse me.
Sobchak. She, just to explain her background, her father was the mayor of Leningrad, Anatoly Sobchak, and Mr. Putin worked under him.
Mm.
He subsequently died. Ksenia has been very critical of Putin, but not to the point that other, not like some of the other journalists. So she would be a little bit more of a less threatening candidate than Putin, but she certainly, I mean, you know, she certainly is critical of him.
I wanted to ask, kind of going in a different direction, why we've been talking a little bit about the Kremlin's role, obviously, in the political murders, and we've touched on the hacking of the DNC. Why is the Kremlin's role in these political murders a seemingly greater issue than the hacking? And you know, when it comes to our U.S.-Russian...
Why are the political murders a greater issue?
Right, then, I mean, obviously, getting hacked during a voting, that's not, you know, that's unnerving, as we can attest to. But as we're talking about the Kremlin's role in the murders, you know, in the investigations, you know, how is that? It seemed as if you were saying that is almost a greater concern concerning U.S. foreign policy with Russia, and wanted to know
right.
your thoughts
well,
about that.
That's a good question. I think the situation with the political murders is, as I've said, you know, there's not a smoking gun. And secondly, the Western governments have just been reluctant to confront the Kremlin about that because of the fact that they have to work with him on so many global issues. And it's interesting because in the case of Litvinenko in Britain, I mean, it was pretty clear who had done it, and it was pretty clear that these two killers did it on the orders of the Kremlin. But it took the British government a long, long time, almost 10 years, before they actually had a hearing and came out and said that the Russians did it. One of the main reasons for this, that the delay, was that the British government did not want to damage its relations with Russia. So remember, Russia has a huge nuclear arsenal, and they're an important player on the global scene in areas like Syria and the Middle East and Ukraine. So, you know, Western governments have been reluctant to be too confrontational on this issue of political murder.
Hmm. Can Putin be stopped? I think is the next question that makes a lot of sense going forward. Is that even possible? It almost seems like a sensationalist question, but I think it's a good one.
You mean stopped from doing more of these murders, or stopped?
I know. I guess that's an overbroad question, isn't it? Concerning all the different crosshairs we've been discussing. I guess we could take that as a two-part, since we have only a minute before we go back to another short break. Yes, considering all the propaganda that we've been talking about, that many countries can relate to, you know, and feeding national pride, Can he really be stopped? It sounds like Navalny is a really good key for that. And is that what it would take?
Well, I think most observers and the best people to talk to are the people inside the country. There are a lot of political experts who I really respect. And I think right now they would tell you pretty much what I just said a few minutes ago, that right now Putin would win an election hands down, mainly because there are no other real viable alternatives. And Navalny in particular, even if he would get on the ballot, he would still have an uphill struggle because the government controls the television, and that's where a lot of people get their news. The other thing is they do a lot of tampering with the ballots. They bribe people. So there's that whole issue of voting fraud, and the Kremlin is really good about that. So anybody who comes up against Mr. Putin has a huge challenge.
Mm. Okay, wonderful. Well, with that, we're going to take another quick break, excuse me, and go back to Jinka and Per.
Yes, you're listening to this amazing interview on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. This is where we get to share with you our inside of KBOO look, and you get to be a part of this station. If you have never seen or heard of community radio before, this is a station that is a community members coming together to make radio happen and all of us contributing what we can. The airwaves are part of the common treasury belonging to all of us, but so much of this spectrum is occupied without your input. Here at KBOO, you get to have a say. You get to be part of this radio station. We ask you to call right now with your support. We're asking for $10 a month. If that is doable for you, call right now, 877-500-5266. And the very exciting part is that we are in a matching period. There is no better time to give than during a matching period, because your contribution will be doubled by a generous donor who will double that contribution. So $10 a month is $120. KBOO will get $240. Call right now. Make that commitment of $10 a month. We'll be happy to give you a USB drive and the thank you of owning a radio station. 877-500-5266.
Wow, I was looking at this list of people on the USB drive. This is amazing. This is a little bit of history right here in your pocket for $10 a month. There's an interview, a 1969 interview with Pete Seeger. This is something, you know, the great Pete Seeger, who died a few years ago at the age of 95. He's been around for a long, long time, singing at picket lines and rallies and all kinds of things. I saw him at a house concert in Providence, Rhode Island one time years ago. Anyway, it's an interview with Pete Seeger going way back when. We have Paul Robeson from 1957, W.E.B. Du Bois from 1964, all the way to the most recent stuff by Glenn Greenwald. So this stuff is all yours for $10 a month, all in a little USB drive. You plug it in and you'll listen with great interest and increase your knowledge. Do it now. 877-500-5266. I think we have some kind of a drawing coming up, too.
We do, and everyone who calls will be entered to win, and that is for the Northwest Premier Environmental Film Festival. You will get 10 pairs of tickets. You can give them to all your friends. Portland Eco Film Festival, held at the Hollywood Theater starting next Thursday, when Winona LaDuke is going to be there screening her new film, along with many, many other great films that are coming up. That can be yours as a thank you. In addition to any other gift that you get, you will be entered to win that drawing. 877-500-5266. We have a goal to meet for this show, and we really want to make that, and we can only do it with your support, and your money will be doubled. 877-500-5266.
And we are back. Ms. Knight, we have about 10 minutes wrapping up, and I wanted to ask, can Russia actually be a reliable partner in combating global terrorism and supporting democracy?
I would say no. I think that the Russians, of course, have their own problem with terrorism. Mm. And a lot of the terrorism comes from the North Caucasus. And it's really the problem is really of their own making, because they haven't been able to resolve all these issues with these separatist groups who have been so persecuted by the Russians. So I think that it's going to be very difficult for us to, for example, solve the problem in Syria if we have to depend on the Russians. They've been supporting al-Assad all these years. We wanted to get rid of him, and it would have been a wonderful thing for Syria. And the Russians have really stood against that, and they've prevented any real solution to the Syrian problem. And also, if you look at Ukraine, the Russian military is still ensconced in eastern Ukraine. They've armed the rebels, undermined the government in Kiev. So the U.S. and its Western partners would really like a solution to that Ukrainian problem, and the Russians just will not cooperate. So no, I do not think that the Russians are cooperative, and I don't think that they're reliable partners until they actually change their leadership. So I also would say that I think that Mr. Trump has been very naive in thinking that he can do business so easily with Vladimir Putin. I just don't think he understands how Putin operates, and I think he doesn't understand how deeply felt the antagonism is in the Kremlin towards the West. Mm. They really view the West as their enemy.
Mm. There's a small naive part of me that was hoping that you would say, yes, you did believe that there was hope for a reliable partner in, between the U.S. and Russian government, but that's my childhood speaking.
Well, you know, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier, when I say we, I'm talking about not just the U.S., but the rest of the Western governments in Europe and so forth. We don't have any choice but to try to get Russian cooperation, because, as I say, they're a very important country on the global stage, and they have all these nuclear weapons. So, you know, we can't ignore Russia. So the solution is to find ways to work around Mr. Putin, and also to make it clear to the Kremlin that we are firm on certain issues, and you know, they can't push us too far.
When reviewing your book and looking it over, I was really surprised about the allusions or the Boston Marathon. You go into the Boston Marathon bombings and imply that there was a role that the Kremlin had or Russia had in that. And I was really wanting you to elaborate on that, because that was news to me. It could be that I just get buried with news all day. But I wanted you, as we're wrapping up, to touch on that a little bit as far as what evidence there was that showed that was a possibility.
Well, I have a whole chapter on the Boston bombings in my book, Orders from Above. And yes, I'm one of the few people that has even suggested Russian collusion in those bombings. One of the reasons that I did suggest it is that the Russians, Tamerlane Tsarnaev, the older of the two brothers, was living in Boston. The family had come from the North Caucasus, and his father was Chechen, and they were living in Boston, and the Russian FSB actually contacted the FBI and said that they were watching Tamerlane Tsarnaev and wondered what the FBI had on him. So that started a couple of years before the bombings. And, you know, the FBI said, we'll go interview him, but tell us what you know. And then the Russians never really responded. Meanwhile, Tamerlane went over to Russia for 6 months. And that the FBI and the CIA never found out about that. The Russians for sure knew that he was there, because they'd already earmarked him as a possible terrorist. And they never informed the U.S., and we don't know what he was doing there for 6 months. But all we know is that he came back and eventually, with his brother, carried out those bombings. If you want to know the motivation for the Russians possibly inciting Tamerlane Tsarnaev to do this, they had such a terrorism problem that people in the West were concerned about the Olympics, which were coming up. and whether it would be safe. And I think this bombing in Boston really took the heat off the Russians. They were able to say, look, you've got your own terrorism problem. And also, they were heavily criticized by the West for suppressing the Chechens and for their war in Chechnya. And now they were able to say, oh, look, we were right. The Chechens were terrorists all along. So I think, you know, after those bombings, Mr. Putin came right out and said, we're now partners with the U.S. in the fight against global terrorism because the same thing has happened to them. And so it served Russia well.
What's preventing Western governments at large from speaking out against Putin about the murders of the critics? And why do you think our president-elect continues to court the Russian president, even though it seems obvious that he's not clear on Putin's operations and how he works?
Well, I should say that certainly human rights groups and Western journalists speak out a lot about Mr. Putin's political murders. I am by no means the first to talk about it. But as I mentioned earlier, there are overriding diplomatic, geopolitical concerns that prevent the U.S. and other Western governments from drawing too much attention to this. Also, I think there's this feeling, what can they do about it except just point it out and you know, say that they know that Mr. Putin is a political murderer. As far as Mr. Trump is concerned, that's a very difficult question from the get-go. You know, he's denied that Putin kills his critics. He said things like, well, other people do the same thing. He's bent over backwards to apologize for Mr. Putin. And I think that's a real mystery as to why, for some reason, he has such admiration for Vladimir Putin. I think it's unfortunate, and I'm hoping that his advisors can change his mind, because it's not good for our Russia policy.
Has Putin ever had somebody attacked or killed on American soil?
There was a man named Mikhail Lessin who died in a Washington hotel room a couple of years ago. He was a drinker, and at first the FBI or the police and the FBI, they said that, it was because he had fallen, that he was drunk and he fell. He had a lot of bruises. More recently, there have been reports citing anonymous FBI sources that, in fact, they do think that he was murdered. Lessin was the former head of Gazprom Media. He was part of the Kremlin's inner circle, and apparently he'd had some sort of a falling out with Mr. Putin and was talking about providing some information to the U.S. government. Now, I cannot say for sure whether these are just rumors or whether they're true, but I would certainly say that there is a little bit of a shadow over that case, and we have yet to know the real truth about it.
Well, it almost reads like a James Bond novel, except it's real. Just a little bit. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day. And I just also want to thank you, journalist to journalist, for everything that you're doing and for breaking the silence and for providing everybody more information about the intricacies between U.S. and Russian foreign policy. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. And to those who are just tuning in, we've been talking to Amy Knight, author of Orders to Kill, The Putin Regime and Political Murder. Again, thank you. Have a wonderful day, Ms. Knight.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Amy Knight here on KBOO's News and Public Affairs Day. This is an exciting day where we are trying to raise money for KBOO Community Radio, and we are more than halfway to our $105,000 goal for this drive. We've raised more than $53,000 so far, and we're urging you to give in the next 7 minutes so that we can reach the goal for this show. We have $300 to go, and if just three people commit to doing that $10 contribution, that will get us to our goal. That's $10 a month for KBOO. You get a USB flash drive filled with all kinds of exclusive audio. You get the thank you of being a part of this community radio station and keeping us independent and keeping us accountable to you, the listener. 877-500-5266. If you need to pull over and remember that number, it's 877-500-KBOO. 877-500-KBOO. KBOO.
Yes, if you're out driving, you can write that number down in the dust on your dashboard, then pull over when you get a chance. But give us a call, 877-500-5266. That'll put you in touch with one of our operators who are waiting to hear from you.
Volunteer operators are standing by.
We are all, this is about all volunteers here, except for a few staff members, but they're
This we got a room full of volunteers.
Driven radio station. There's about 500 of us, and we are what keeps the station going. And it's you that keeps the station going. We are doing this ourselves in the corporate world. We are making inroads. We are spreading our message. We're spreading our truth. We are talking. We're talking to the powerful and to the powerless, because we are not as powerless as they feel they are. The way to do that is become a member. 877-500-5266.
Because individually, it might feel like you're powerless, but together we all have power. This is empowerment radio right here. We all come together to make it happen. This is the way that community works. All of us putting in, pitching in what we can, and that makes this station happen. Some people give their time. Some people can give $10 a month. If we just have three people give $10, just commit to that $10 a month for KBOO, and that will bring us to our goal in the next 5 minutes. Call right now, 877-500-5266. And remember, that amount will be doubled right now. We have a matching period. That means that any amount that you give will be doubled. So if you give that $10 a month to KBOO, KBOO will get $20. And we will be very, very happy to thank you with a USB drive with all kinds of audio, including Vandana Shiva, John Trudell, Cornel West, Race Talks, The Resurgence of Hate Crimes in America, Charleston and Beyond with Randy Blazak and Carlos Kovarabias and Noam Chomsky, Glenn Greenwald. The list goes on. That audio can be yours. A 4 gigabyte hard drive, not hard drive, USB drive filled with audio, with MP3 files that you can share. 877-500-5266. Just $10 or more will get you that USB drive.
Well, all those little $10 contributions, they add up to $105,000 for our budget, which is a very modest budget. That's sort of like lunch money at Fox News, you know. But we do a lot with that. We have people we have speakers from all over the world come to KBOO. They visit with us. They talk to us over the phone. We have quite a phone bill because we have a lot of phone connections around the world. And so that is what you are paying for. You are paying for an education that you don't get elsewhere. And it says it is worth it. 877-500-5266. Do it the easy way, where $10 a month comes out of your bank account, your credit union account, into our account. And it just keeps on doing this every month, all through the year, sustaining. It sustains KBOO, and it keeps the station going, and it just it makes a nice even flow of income. And so that is how you sustain KBOO. That is how you keep KBOO going low these many years. We are approaching our 50th anniversary. It's just amazing.
Next year. Yep, 50 years of KBOO. Mm-hmm. I haven't been around that long, but man, I'm hoping that this will stay around for another 50. We'll keep it going for the next few generations. KBOO is here because of your support. Your $120 membership, that's a $10 a month membership, produces 1 week's worth of KBOO news in depth, a deep investigated segment that airs 5 times a week, and engages one community member in creative sound expression with KBOO's introductory audio production class. This is where your money goes. It does not go to fancy frills and corporate underwriting and shareholders. No, the money comes back into your community. This is an investment, and we urge you to do it now. In the next 3 minutes, help us reach our goal for this show. We are getting close. We just need you to call at that $10 level. Just $10 a month makes such a difference for KBOO. If you can do that, well, thank you with the USB drive, and you will be a part of our sustaining membership community. Call right now, 877-500-5266. We want to thank Alan from Northeast Portland for renewing their membership. Jeffrey and Olga from Beaver Creek also renewing their membership. Thank you so much for continuing your support for this essential community radio.
Or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th and come and visit us. Visit our mammoth corporate headquarters here at 20 Southeast 8th, the mural in front, a few bikes parked in front. I'm just kidding about that mammoth corporate headquarters. We are a very
our
modest
palatial
operation.
Penthouse.
We do a little. We do a lot with just a little. You know, we make that money go in places never been before. And we have news stories that you've never heard before. We have all kinds of programming you've never heard before because the mainstream media does not seem to, their currents don't include all the things that are going on in the world. 877-500-5266. Do it now. Make it easy on yourself. Make it easy on KBOO. $10 a month, electronic funds transfer. Do it now or come on down and see us. Visit the station that you are now a proud part owner of.
We've only got a minute left in this segment, and we do need a couple more calls. Can you call $10 for KBOO, $10 a month? Can you support KBOO at that level? 877-500-5266. We want to thank Kim and Sandy from Northeast Portland. Said thank you for taking the front line, speaking the truth, and advocating for those that go unheard. Join Sandy and Kim and your friends and neighbors here at KBOO Community Radio and pledge your support right now. 877-500-5266. Support this radio station that provides a forum for unpopular, controversial, and neglected perspectives right here, KBOO Community Radio. 877-500-KBOO.
KBOO would like to give a special thanks to our local community partner who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Cafe 11, located at 435 Northeast Rosa Parks Way, a family-friendly coffee shop in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland. Dinner was provided by Dean Nicola's, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard in Portland, and serving Italian food for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 1 p.m. And remember to support the station during our fall membership drive at kboo.fm/give or on the telephone at 877-500-5266.
All right, and we're back. Thank you for joining us on News and PA Day. I'm Zella Zellis-Marchant. I have with me...